From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we're going right to our phone callers. First up today, Jamie, listening in Georgia. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Hank, appreciate you having me on the broadcast.
You're welcome.
The question I have for you is, if Satan knew that Jesus was God, why would he even try to tempt him and say he could give him all these things? I mean, I just don't understand why Satan would even try to even ask God or all these things.
Well, Jamie, I think the answer to that question is resolved by looking introspectively at ourselves. We know God spoke and the universe leapt into existence. We have ample evidence that Jesus Christ is God and demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of the resurrection, and yet we consistently tempt God in our everyday lives. So we can ask the question, why in the world would we do that when we know that God is the creator of all things, that he knows all things, and that we'll be held in account for everything that we have done while in the flesh? So the question we ask of Satan is a question we can ask of ourselves.
Right. Yes, that makes a whole lot of sense. But I appreciate you having me on the show.
Hey, you got it, Jamie. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to Annick in Maryland. Hi, Annick.
Oh, hi, Hank. Glad to be able to speak with you. So I had a question about Dianetics. I had a friend actually in church who told me he was attending also the Church of Scientology and explained me something about Dianetics from Ron Hubbard that can help you to be a better Christian. So my question to you was kind of twofold. First, can you shed a little bit light of what Dianetics is? And also, if you could help me to figure out how to tackle the issue on a biblical standpoint.
Yeah, I can do that. In fact, I'm going to give you some information, and it's memorable. I remember years ago, I used the acronym TEARS from the passage in which Paul says, "Remember, for 3 years I never stopped warning you night and day with tears." This was very appropriate to Scientology. So I use the TEARS acronym to give people an idea of how to remember the deviations and then use the deviations as opportunities to communicate the gospel. The T stands for thetans. Scientology teaches that humans are immortal thetans trapped in a physical universe of their own mental construction. And therefore, humans are not sinners in need of a savior, but immortal beings who can overcome enslaving engrams. What's an engram? That's the E, by the way, in the acronym TEARS. It's the accumulation of trillions of years of painful subconscious memories. And how do you cure it? Well, through the pseudo-psychology of auditing the A in the acronym TEARS. And that is a counseling process that Scientology uses through which devotees can locate and hopefully resolve past traumatic experiences and then experience spiritual enlightenment. And then the R reminds you of a continuous cycle of reincarnation. And Scientology holds that apart from their auditing process, and by the way, everyone ends up having to go through auditing. It's, first of all, kind of like, we got to find out whether you need this or not. But turns out that everybody needs it, of course. But in order to escape this vicious cycle, we have to become self-actualized through the pseudo-psychology of Scientology. And then finally, the S in TEARS reminds us of a God who is a supreme being, remarkably like the Brahman of Hinduism. And so here you have sort of a mixture of pseudo-psychology and the world view of Hinduism mixed in this muddy mixture, amalgamation of thought that is completely set against a biblical worldview in which resides the truth. I'll give you an example. You can use each one of these letters in a very proficient way. Let's take reincarnation. Reincarnation sets itself against the idea of resurrection. Reincarnation is this idea that the soul continuously returns dressed up in other bodies. Reincarnation is diametrically opposite from the notion of resurrection, which says the body is not something we escape. We don't get new bodies or different bodies, but this body resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So you can take the horror of reincarnation and use it as an opportunity to talk about the incredible joy that believers look forward to in terms of physical resurrection. And that's the point. The point is not knowing every single deviation. Obviously, Satan is a mastermind of packaging and repackaging the lie ad nauseam, ad infinitum, but it's to take the deviation and use it as an opportunity to share the truth that liberates people who are trapped in Dianetics, trapped in the worldview of Scientology, and teach them about the liberating truth that Christ made us an ambassador for.
Great. Thank you very much. That's very helpful. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. And I've put this acronym in writing. One of the places you can find that, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. If you join the support team, I'll send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, just as my way of saying thank you. 100% of the proceeds go to this ministry so that we can continue with a message of truth, not for political expediency, but truth because truth matters. So check it out on the web at equip.org. Write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to our resource consultants. That's an easy way to do it. 888-7000 CRI. Back to our phone callers. Next up is Al. He's listening in Harrison, New Jersey. Hi, Al.
Good afternoon. God bless you, you and your minister.
Thank you.
I have a question. It's a Matthew 19:11-12. And what's the definition for eunuchs? And it's something to do with just spiritual, set apart spiritual. Oh, there is such thing to like a physical, like doing something physical just to serve God.
Yeah, that's what the passage explains. Some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others are made that way by men. And then others have renounced marriage. So they have renounced the use of their genitals, as it were, because they want to completely work for the kingdom of Christ without any kind of diversion. They want to be completely, wholly devoted to that process. And the one who can accept this, the Bible says, should accept this. Back to the phone lines. Andrew, he's listening in Aiken, South Carolina. Hi, Andrew.
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Hank?
Good.
Good. And my question is I've asked a couple preachers and some people I know that are Christians, and I'm really, none of them have heard of the Book of Nature. And so I'm really trying to get to understand what it is, where is it, and when I've done research on the internet, I can't find anything about it much either.
Well, you can do research in the Bible and you can find it. Now, remember that the idea is what is important. You can search the Bible for the word Trinity, you'll never find it either. But you will find the notion that there's one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. And this is the same idea. If you go to Romans chapter 1, you will see in verse 19 that what may be known about God is plain to the wicked because God has made it plain to them. Why? In verse 20, Paul says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." So the book of nature is God's fingerprints in the universe that he has created. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. So we have a book of knowledge, the Bible. We also have a book of nature. And in the nature, we don't get special revelation, but in nature, we do get general revelation. You want to see the contrast? The best place in the Bible to see it, where you see both the book of knowledge and the book of nature, Psalm 19. We'll be right back with more of your questions on the other side of the break, so please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's return to our phone calls. Next up is Ashton, listening in Houston, Texas. Hi, Ashton.
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
All right, sir. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise.
All right, sir. Look, I can say about a year ago, you know, I've been really listening to a lot of reggae and getting into the history and just learning about Bob Marley. And I've been reading my Bible, and I've been going strong. Well, I just want to know, what's your take on a Rastafarian life? How do you feel about that?
Well, what I feel about that is that there's a big contradiction between the Rastafarians and the Bible. If you read the Bible, as you just mentioned, you're reading, the one thing you will note is there's no such thing as race except to run the race. There is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no Dutchman, there is no African, there is only people. And therefore, we should never be racist in how we look at other people. And unfortunately, Rastafarians are racist. They say the white man is inferior, the black man is the reincarnation of Israel, and they believe that one day the black man will rule the world. Well, I think to make any kind of racist suggestion like that is very harmful. You know, we've certainly seen the horrors of the kind of treatment Western civilization has afforded African Americans. It's a horror that's very difficult to undo. And so we don't want to reverse that horror and go in the opposite direction. Rather, we want to recognize the liberating truth that there is no such thing as race except, as I said, to run the race. But as far as Rastafarians in general, I mean, to believe that Haile Selassie is God or to believe that Jamaica is hell, although I was in Jamaica not long ago and it wasn't the most wonderful place I've ever been. I had some rather gnarly experiences there that are emblazoned on the canvas of my consciousness. But look, I mean, some of the outward trappings, you can take them or leave them. You know, the dreadlocks, ganja, reggae music, there's a difference. I mean, dreadlocks, I mean, that's a style. But the style does have a significance. The use of ganja is something that I certainly wouldn't recommend because it's being used for religious purposes, and that a religion that has no basis in reality. So my bottom line here is, as a Bible believer or someone that wants to devote yourself to the teachings of Scripture, Rastafarianism is not a place you want to be.
Okay. And can I put one more thing out there?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now you were saying about the God. Okay, in some of the Bibles, they show a white God, you know, with the long hair and the beard and the robe. What about that God? You know what I mean?
Well, there is no such God like that in the Bible. I mean, this is the problem. The fact that there's a problem on one side of the coin doesn't mean you want to create another problem on the other side of the coin. No, you want to right the wrong. And the issue is that there have been renditions of Jesus Christ as though he's got blue eyes and blonde hair and he's part of the Aryan race. That simply is not the case. Jesus Christ was part of a Semitic culture. We don't know exactly what Christ looked like, but we can, I think, rightly conclude he probably didn't have blue eyes and blonde hair.
Yeah. I understand that. But, you know, like for us as African Americans, you know, we can grow our hair and it'll turn into dreadlocks. But we can just let, you know, what God gave us, let it grow just like we let a plant grow. It turns into dreadlocks. So, you know, what is it, you know, when I go on a job interview and they say, well, sir, we don't like your hair. How am I supposed to feel? This makes me comfortable. I feel confident. You know, this is a part of me. You know, just like my arm. I feel like this is a part of me, like my arms and my legs are, you know. So how am I supposed to feel, you know, when they tell me, oh, sir, well, we don't want you on our job because of your hair.
Well, you got to look at this practically, my friend. I tell you, if I grew my hair out really long, if I was applying for a job, I'd face the same problem. I mean, if you feel comfortable with dreadlocks, all the more power to you, but people are going to make judgments as they would with me.
Exactly, and that's just people. So do we have to be living for people, how people feel? You know, are we what we worried about?
Well, we live in the real world. I mean, some practical realities are involved in living in the real world. But look, if you feel comfortable with dreadlocks, and I'm sure you look great with them, then that's certainly, I mean, there's nothing in a biblical worldview that suggests that you can't have dreadlocks. Here's the thing you have to keep in mind. And let me make an analogy. There's nothing in the Bible that ultimately tells you you can't have tattoos. There is a biblical injunction for ancient Israel not to have tattoos. Why? Not because there was something inherently wrong with a tattoo, but because of the association it had with paganism. And I think therein lies the problem. Israel was not to be associated with pagan practices. They were to set themselves apart. And I think that's the real issue for the Christian. Set yourself apart. If you can do that with a tattoo, all the more power to you. If you can use dreadlocks as a testimony to Jesus Christ, all the more power to you. I mean, because ultimately, that's the issue. The issue is whether you have dark skin or light skin is of no consequence in God's economy. Whether you have blue eyes or brown eyes has no consequence in God's economy. What does matter is whether you are covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ or stand in your own unrighteousness. That's the ultimate issue. If you square that, everything else will take care of itself. So I would put the dreadlocks on a shelf. I would put all these other things on a shelf and say, the big thing, the main thing, the plain thing is, where is my heart? Is my heart a heart conformed to the will of Jesus Christ? If it is, everything else will take care of itself, including your job. Rastafarians, again, this is something that originated in Jamaica, originated when Rastafar was coronated as Haile Selassie, the emperor of Ethiopia. And therefore, the notion that Haile Selassie is God. And I can understand the reaction. If you have been wronged for a long time, I can understand why you'd want to react. But I'll tell you the beautiful thing that Christ can do. Change, soften our hearts, and make us ambassadors for Christ. And that's the ultimate goal. Celia in Las Vegas, Nevada, you're next. Hi, Celia.
Hi, Hank. Thank you very much to give me this opportunity to talk to you. I just have a few books from you, one in Spanish, which is The Crisis in Christianity, and the other one is The Counterfeit of Revival.
Yes.
So it opened my eyes. Since I became a Christian in 1988, I was on the Pentecostal doctrine. Let me see if I am wrong. So, according to what I read and my understanding, Pentecostal doctrine are wrong because they emphasize on the powers of the Holy Spirit.
Well, Celia, let me say this. That's an in-house debate amongst Christians. The Pentecostal distinction is that they believe that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whereas a charismatic, for example, would say it is a evidence, but it is not necessarily the evidence. But that ultimately is an in-house debate, and we can debate that vigorously without dividing over it. And so I have very close Pentecostal friends that I can have this debate with, but boy, it doesn't separate us for a moment. We're great friends. We learn from one another. And so that's not a dividing point. I think there are points on which you should divide, and those points are essential Christian doctrine. Those are the doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults.
Oh, okay. What about casting out demons? My church emphasizes also on casting out demons, liberation of demons of your body, with manifestations of throwing up jerking kind of things.
You know? This is all a bunch of nonsense. It's all a part of what I wrote about in the book you mentioned, Counterfeit Revival. I've also written another book on this called The Covering. It's a smaller book, but it points out that the fascination with demons in the culture at large has now led to a robust deliverance movement within evangelicalism. And we'd be hard-pressed to come up with a better scheme, because whatever the problem is, whether it's substance addiction or runaway sexual appetite, these exorcism ministries happily claim expertise for dealing with it, and they give you a bonus. That bonus is you're not personally held responsible for the problem. They say indwelling demons are mainly to blame, and getting rid of the demons is the key to moral and psychological redemption. And here's the problem with all of that. It is that Christians cannot be demon-possessed. And let me repeat that. Your temple as a believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which will never be shared with a demon. So certainly demons can bug you, they can harass you, but they can't indwell you. They can indwell someone who is a non-believer, but they can't indwell a believer. Therefore, we don't want to get involved in false paradigms of spiritual warfare. Rather, we do well to heed what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, and that's what my book, The Covering, is about, how we can put on the full armor of God and resist the power of the evil one. Please do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners like you. If you can support us, go to the web at equip.org.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.